What's the chapter? Isaiah 12. All right, everybody, welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning if you want to find a seat. Our first hymn this morning, we're going to open up with 343. If you turn in your hymnal to hymn number 343, Revive Us Again. Hymn number 343, Revive Us Again. Let's sing. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
I don't know if I can see Brother Ben Naim in here, unless he's hiding from me, but Tanner, would you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. For the next song this morning, turn, if you would, to hymn number 410, Faith is the Victory. Hymn number 410. Hymn number 410, Faith is the Victory. Let's sing. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On the last, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts will love aflame. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Good singing.
All right, welcome everyone to Steadfast Baptist Church this Sunday morning. If you need a bulletin, if you will raise your hand, and one of our men in the back can get that to you. I know we've got several hands, so hold them nice and high. We'll get that to you. On the inside there, we've got our service times and our soul winning times there at the top, along with our month-to-date salvations and our year-to-date salvations. So we'll have one quick note. Soul winning this afternoon at 2 p.m. So if you're able to make it, I encourage you to do so. For the camera, we got one right here. Also, keep our expecting mothers in our prayers throughout the week. We've got them listed there as well. And you'll notice we have at least two families that are missing this morning. Miss Bree and Brother Chris welcomed to the world their first newborn baby boy. So if you have not already heard the good news, the statistics are listed there. He was born October 3rd at 8:56 p.m., 6 pounds, 4 ounces, 18 inches long. His name is Walter James Gilham. So if you have not done so already, reach out to them and let them know just how thankful you are and just glad that everything went well. I've been told that mom and baby are doing good, and so hopefully we'll see them soon. And, you know, in the interim, you know, thank you to Brother Kevin for stepping in and Brother Cameron as well, just to fill those slots. It's nice to just be able to plug somebody in. We've got our list of upcoming preachers there underneath that. Of course, Brother Ben Naim is here with us all day today, preaching both the AM and the PM service. So I'm excited to hear what he has for us today. Also, we've got some announcements, or I'm sorry, some upcoming events there on the right-hand side. Of course, I've been announcing this for several weeks now, but Steadfast Fort Worth has found a new home, and we are going to be celebrating that with them as a grand opening weekend, October 16th through the 18th. And that Friday, October 16th, Pastor Steven Anderson is going to be there preaching for that Friday service. And so, and then they'll also have Saturday soul winning, and then their normal services on Sunday. So if you can make it down for that, I know Pastor Shelley would enjoy that. Of course, Pastor Shelley, he's going to be here this coming Thursday. And so if you have not had a chance to meet Pastor Shelley, I encourage you to come on Thursday. He will be here preaching for us that service. Right below that, we've got the homeschool pumpkin patch field trip for the moms and children. And of course, really just anybody who would like to attend can. There is a sign-up sheet on the back table back there. If you could sign up and let me know, I'll probably be making the arrangements for that this coming week. And so please get your name on the list before you leave here today. And then right below that, we have another soul-winning mega marathon that's going to take place in Wichita Falls, Texas. Now, soul-winning marathons consist of an all-day long soul-winning event. We'll have soul-winning in the morning, lunch, and then soul winning in the afternoon. And so a great opportunity to reach a lot of people there in the Wichita Falls area. It's about 2 hours south of where we're at in the city. And so that'll be a lot of fun. That's going to be October 31st. And then the plan is to then come back to the church, and we're going to do our second annual chili cook-off. And so if you are on the list in the back, to that you're going to enter your chili into the contest, if you please show up about 15 minutes early for that event, and so that way we can get everything situated and in prime order for the judges, which we've got a list of judges in the back as well. Now, Brother Ben, I know you're from the East Coast, and I don't want you to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but in Oklahoma, beans are not reprobate, so we allow beans in our chili, and, you know, Texas is a whole nother country all to themselves. I don't know if you knew that or not, but anyways, beans and chili are acceptable, and you'll not be disqualified for that. And then also we'd be watching the Massa conference, hopefully be live streamed at that point, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. And then finally, we'll have our family and friend day November 29th, and that's going to be also celebrating our second anniversary as a church, and so that's always a fun time. You know, I don't know if anybody's got a chance to view any of Verity Baptist kind of reminiscing on their 10-year anniversary, and it tends to bring a lot of memories to my mind of this church, and so it's just a fun time. You know, to celebrate here as a church family, and also that'll be our friend day, so our family and friend day, so have somebody in mind that you would like to invite to that. We will have a gift package that will be ready for them when they arrive, and we'll have a potluck lunch afterwards after the morning service as well. So keep in mind somebody who you would like to invite to that, be praying for that. And then finally, we are on week number 10 of our Bible memory passage, Psalms chapter 2. It's an easy verse, And so anyways, if any children under the age of 18 can quote last week's verse, verse number 9, they can receive an ice cream reward in between services. So that's all the announcements that I have this morning. We'll go to our next song, hymn number 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer, hymn number 301.
All right, number 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer, hymn number 301, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Three hundred and one. Let's sing. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh shall drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen. Good singing. While the offering plates are being passed around, as is our custom, turn to Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter 12, and we'll be reading that chapter.
Isaiah chapter 12, the Bible reads, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, we're thankful that we can come together and hear your word preached.
Lord, we just pray that you be with Brother Ben and just give him the words that you're having to say. Open our hearts and our ears to your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Just 1 minute here. All right, Isaiah 12, look at verse 4. The Bible says, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." Verse 5, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." So Isaiah chapter 7 through chapter 12, it's directed at King Ahaz. And we see an instruction in verse number 5 that I wanted you to focus on. It says, "Sing unto the Lord." And that's the title of my sermon this morning. Sing unto the Lord. We see this phrase frequently throughout Scripture. Here's another place. Go to Psalm 33, Psalm chapter 33. Of course, the Psalms are songs. And that's a pretty big portion of your Bible. So we see that singing unto the Lord is actually an important component of the Christian life. And that's one of the things I hope to emphasize here throughout the sermon, is that we ought to sing to God. We should sing unto the Lord. And that there are certain benefits associated with that, which I'll go over a little bit later on. While you're turning to Psalm 33, notice what I'll read for you, Isaiah 42, which says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof." So the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise. This is one of the many ways in which we can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by singing to him, by worshiping him. Sing a hymn, sing a song. A spiritual song. Music glorifies Jesus Christ. Psalm 13 says, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." So the psalmist says there in Psalm chapter 13, I had you turn to Psalm 33, but in Psalm 13, 6, the psalmist is saying that he's going to sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with him. Now that's the case for us, folks. And I get it. We all go through problems. We all have different things that we struggle with. But the vehicle that you drive, the food that you eat, the roof that's over your head is proof that God has dealt bountifully with you, that he's been generous with you. And so as a result, the least we could do in response is sing unto the Lord, is sing to him, worship him. You know, in America, we have first world problems. Some of the problems that we deal with, oh, the internet cut out. I can't go on YouTube and watch cats playing piano, or whatever people do on YouTube these days. Okay? We have first world problems. I know one of the first world problems I deal with, since I've moved to Texas, I can't for the life of me find unshredded mozzarella cheese at the supermarket. And I like it unshredded. I want to put it through the cheese grater myself. Everything they sell is already shredded. You know what that is, folks? That's a problem that I'm glad to have. I'm glad that I have that issue, and not the issue that would be that I can't even find where my next meal is going to be. That I don't know where my next meal is going to be. But these are the problems we deal with in the Western world. God has dealt bountifully with us, is my point. That these are the issues we deal with. Internet cut out, or whatever the case may be. Now again, we do deal with trials. We do deal with tribulations. I'm not saying we don't. But you know what we do have to get us through those low points? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved. We should never take that for granted. We have church. Is this a perfect church? No, there is no such thing as a perfect church. Yeah. But you know what? At the very least, you have a place where you can assemble with fellow brethren who love God, who are like-minded, to listen to the Word of God be preached every single week, three times a week. So we have that. God has dealt bountifully with you here in Oklahoma City because you have an opportunity to come and serve Him here in the house of God. There are people who can't for the life of them find a good church to go to, and yet there's one right here at OKC. And so why not sing unto the Lord? He's dealt bountifully with you in that regard. Sing out. Sing loud. Psalm 33, I heard you turn there. Look at verse 1. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Notice he loves judgment. So there's something that'll trigger the judge not crowd. But that's a different topic for a different time. It says in verse 2, praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. That's why we have instruments at church that are played during the song service. It talks about a harp, an instrument of 10 strings. You know, there are these weirdo cults out there that think instruments are sinful in some way or pagan or something like that. That's not what the Bible teaches, okay? You see instruments all throughout the scriptures, including here in Psalm chapter 33. And here's a way in which you can serve God, by the way. If you're wondering, how can I contribute to Steadfast Baptist Church? Well, if you're skillful in terms of playing an instrument, then you can use your hands to get involved in the music ministry at your local church. That's a way you can contribute. Go to Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81. Some people have different skills in different areas. I'm not the best singer, so it's likely you won't see me doing song leading, you know, at any point in time in the near future. But you know what? If I did learn to play an instrument, if I learned to play the trumpet, or if I learned to play the guitar, then I believe it would be my responsibility to contribute that skill to help enhance the music ministry at my church. And we've seen people do that at the Fort Worth location, or I guess it's Hearst, Texas now, at the Hearst, if you want to call it that, location, with our new building. Beautiful new building, by the way. We have Brother Phil Milstead. He's up there playing the guitar. You know, we have a trumpet player. We have piano players. So we have people contributing in that way. Psalm 81, notice what it says in verse 1. Psalm 81, verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. I'm going to repeat that one more time. It says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. It says, sing aloud. That doesn't mean when it's time to sing, come thou fount. Oh, come thou fount of living. Bless. Let me check Facebook. Now, I'm not saying people do that here. This is preventative. So don't take offense to this. All right. You guys did sing pretty well here in the morning. So there's your compliment. All right. Don't go snowflake on me and get offended. But folks, this is preventative. We don't want to fall back into this attitude that says, oh, songs are, who cares? You know, I do this every time I come to church, you know, at Calvary, just go ahead, hum the melody, and you don't even care. You know, the Bible says, sing aloud unto God. It's the least we could do. Be genuine, be real, but more important than that, just try your best. Just try your best. Individually, you might sound like a dying cat when you sing. Some of you might sound horrible individually, which is why you likely, you know, wouldn't do well if there was some sort of special music service and you were singing up here by yourself, which we don't do anyway. But if hypothetically that did happen, you probably wouldn't sound too good if you're not a good singer, obviously, okay? But here's the thing. Even if you do sound like a cat being tortured in an alleyway when you sing, okay, here's the good news. When we all sing as a congregation, we make one voice, and that one voice sounds beautiful because it's God's people singing together, praising God together in fellowship one with another, like-minded, the unity. It sounds great. It sounds awesome. So don't worry about it. You say, I'm not a very good singer. I don't care. Sing aloud. Sing like you actually care about the hymns and the lyrics that you are uttering that are coming out of your mouth. And again, as a congregation, whether you're skilled at singing or not, I guarantee you this. It'll sound great when you all sing together. Go to Psalm chapter 98. Psalm chapter 98. I like Christmas caroling, personally. We do that every year. And it's a real blessing for people. You know, we're used to, when we go out soul winning, half the time people, maybe half is a little over-exaggerated, but we do get negative reactions at times out soul winning. I have yet to see a negative reaction to Christmas caroling. What kind of reprobate do you have to be to get upset at people singing Christmas songs on your driveway? Or maybe just somebody who's, you know, just has a bad mood, in a bad mood, okay? I'm not saying they're all reprobates. So, again, let's not be snowflakes and get offended at everything I say. But no, folks, I mean, think about this. What a blessing to the homeowner. They open the door. They see a congregation out in front singing him some Christmas songs. I love it. It's a blessing to them. It's a way in which we can express our love for neighbor out in the community. It's one of my favorite events all year. Psalm 98, look what it says in verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord. You say, wow, you're being repetitive. No, the Bible's being repetitive. It emphasizes this over and over and over again. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto God. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Skip down to verse number 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Even more scriptures here about praising God through music. That's why we do it at church. That's why we should do it in our spare time. Why not sing at home? Why not sing in the car on your drive to work? A hymn. Put it on the radio. And then you don't have to worry about how bad you sound because you're by yourself. Yeah. Music is an important element to worship. Now, there's a caveat I wanted to add here, which is that it's not everything. It's important, but it's not everything. And some churches get this wrong. You'll go to church, often the purple light churches, with the fog machine and the skinny jeans preacher who gets up and preaches 10 minutes. Why? Because they spent an hour and a half singing. Yeah. And it wasn't even the right songs anyway. It was CCM, which I have something to say about in a few minutes. But folks, you don't want to get out of balance. Singing's important. Music's important. But if your sermons are 5 minutes long and you're singing for 2 hours, you're out of balance. There's a problem there, right? So we don't want to get out of balance. Turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. There's a balance for everything. And as a Christian, we should be well balanced. Spend the right amount of time singing unto the Lord. Spend the right amount of time, the appropriate amount of time, praying to God, reading your Bible, coming to church, going soul winning. These are all different components of the Christian life. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, when you get there, look at verse 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 15. The Bible says, 1 Chronicles 15, 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. So unlike Uzzah, who had touched the ark and died, he dropped dead right then and there. And part of the reason for that is because they placed the ark on a cart rather than carrying it the way that God had ordained. So that was a big mistake. Unlike that situation, we see here that the ark is being transported the right way. Look at verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding, notice, by lifting up the voice with joy. Does that describe you when you come to church?
Good.
You lift up your voice with joy, or do you sound like you'd rather be anywhere else? And I've been there. You know, it's easy to take it for granted, but make sure you're actually absorbing those lyrics you're singing. Really take them in. And sing with joy. Sing like you want to be here. Sing like you mean it. Put some effort in. They lifted up their voice with joy. Look at verse 17. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cushiah. And look at skip down to verse 19. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. These names also appear in the book of Psalms, by the way. And Zechariah and Azael and Shemiramoth and Jeiel and Uni and Eliab and Maaseiah and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth and Mattahiah and Eliphaleh and Micniah and Obededom and Jael and Azaziah with harps on the Sheminith. Notice this, to excel. Verse 22. And Kenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. So what's the point of reading this scripture? We see that there are singers appointed to do the work of singing unto the Lord, making music. Okay. And what I wanted you to focus on is the fact that it says in verse 21, with harps on the Sheminith, to excel. And this is why we have to never forget this. Whatever you do, whether it's singing, song leading specifically, or reading the Bible, or even just listening to the sermon, we should do it with all our might. We should do it to excel, and not half-heartedly, not in a lazy way. Irregardless of your skill level, I know I already said this, but I'm going to reiterate it one more time. irregardless of your skill level, especially with respect to singing, just try your best. Sing out loud. Now, that doesn't mean be obnoxious, right? So some people might say, okay, I'm just going to scream everything as loud as I can, and then you'll sound like an insane person, right? No, don't be obnoxious. But again, don't underestimate on the other side the importance of putting in an effort, singing loudly, singing clearly. Kenaniah, another point I wanted to make here from this passage, he was given the responsibility of instructing, put in a leadership position in a sense. Why? Because he was skillful. And the song leaders here, I noticed this at church, song leaders, they'll come a little bit earlier. Why? To practice. They want to practice. They want to make sure they're getting it right. For what purpose? So that they are skillful. Because when you're put in a position of authority, which a song leader is, and you know, Pastor Anderson said this to me when I spoke to him, I think it was in Jacksonville when he came to preach for us, one of the times that he came to visit, he said, hey, he was talking to the song leader and myself. He said, don't underestimate the importance of song leading. You're an important part of the service if you're getting up here and leading the songs. And so that's why it's important for the song leaders to remain skillful in what they're doing so they can correctly guide the rest of the congregation to sing unto the Lord the right way. And we see Kenaniah, he instructed because he was skillful. That's why he was put in that position. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Again, I've seen it here when I've come to visit. The song leaders practicing a little bit, looking over their the songs that they're going to sing. Why? So that they're doing it the right way. Take that responsibility and don't just trash it. Don't just take it for granted. Oh, I'm just the song leader. No, you're important. You're an important component of this service if you lead the songs. Now, you might be wondering, what are we supposed to sing? All right, fine. You said, sing unto the Lord. I get it. But what are we supposed to sing? Well, Colossians 3:16 will give us an answer here. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Notice, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Bible says psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Christian contemporary music, not spiritual. Christian contemporary music, not a psalm for sure, not a hymn. It's vain emotionalism. It's soy boy music. And I'm glad that this church will never, under the authority of Pastor Shelley, inject that into the services. Might as well just inject estrogen into the services. It's so effeminate. You say, I don't believe you. Okay, let me read you some lyrics. CCM. Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant through the trial and the change. One thing remains. This one thing remains. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. They just repeat the same thing. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. You know what I noticed about these lyrics? I don't see the name Jesus anywhere. It doesn't even say God. I can't tell if these are lyrics to the Backstreet Boys or if it's supposed to be lyrics to a song that's sung at church. It's that pathetic. CCM provides no doctrine. It provides no profit. It's vain. It's emotionalism. And the worst part about it is the churches that use this music, they also somehow, some way pick the most limp-wristed song leader they can find to sing it. They get up there, I can feel the Holy Spirit. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. They got to close their eyes and put their hand up. Weird. You know, even if I was unsaved, this is what I would do. I would walk into the service. If I walked in late and the songs were already being played, I would look at the skinny jeans up there with his hand up, leading the music. And I would walk out, okay? I would walk right out. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. So what are we supposed to be singing then? If it's not CCM, which is a satanic counterfeit, if you ask me, all right? We're supposed to sing the hymns, just like the hymns that we sung this morning for the service. They're in your hymn book. That's what we're supposed to mean. Why? Because it glorifies God. Because it reinforces doctrine. Because it's actually profitable. It's not just, you know, some guy getting up there. Oh, your love never fails. Think about this, folks. That literally sounds like, you read these lyrics for these CCM songs. It sounds like, you know, they're singing about like a high school sweetheart or something. It's weird. So the second portion of the sermon, this is what I want to focus on. I want to focus on the benefits of singing unto the Lord. Let's talk about that, the benefits. First benefit that I want to talk about is that it'll get you filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Again, the first benefit I want to talk about, it will get you filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. So important. If you're a drunk, you're a loser. You should be, rather, filled with the Spirit of God. How? Verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Again, instead of being filled with wine, how about you be filled with the Spirit of God? And what is a mechanism by which you can be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, the answer is clear. Sing unto the Lord. Sing some hymns. Sing some psalms. What goes into your ears, folks, it'll affect your heart. This is why Saul was so affected, impacted by the music, the melody that was coming from the harp. What goes into your ears, it'll affect your heart. If you're listening to heavy metal outside of church when no one's around, you know what? That's going to affect your heart. That will manifest outwardly. That'll negatively affect your walk. If you're listening to rap music outside of church, I can guarantee you this. It will affect your heart, even if you think you're getting away with it. What goes into your ears just as sure as what goes to your eyes, what you look on, it affects your heart. Amen. It affects your heart. Yeah. If you would go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. What you listen to affects your heart. Now, I want to touch on a subject that might sting a little bit, especially here in Oklahoma. Might sting a little bit, but I want you to follow through with me. Okay? If you listen to enough country music, you might end up being a complete loser drunk.
Right. Yeah.
You might be a drunk. You say, why? Again, what goes into your ears goes into your heart. Tom Hall, "I like beer." Kip Moore, "Beer Money." These are country songs, okay? Ray Scott, "Drinking Beer." Hey, I wonder what I'm going to want to do if I listen to this every day.
Right.
Probably drink beer. Luke Combs, "Beer Never Broke My Heart." Kenny Chesney, "You and Tequila." Gary Stewart, "Whiskey Trip." I'm not done. Lee Bryce, "Drinking Glass." Blake Shelton, "The More I Drink." How about this one? Thomas Rhett. This one's blasphemous right here. "Beer with Jesus." That's what the song's called. "Beer with Jesus." You know what? Jesus would rebuke you if you tried to go take him out for a beer. Beer with Jesus. Are you kidding me? Folks, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit of God if you're listening to this crap. "So I like country." Well, explain this. Yeah. It's just beer song after drinking song after alcohol. What are they trying to get people to do here? They're trying to brainwash you into thinking that alcohol is cool. I don't care what country artist you thought that you liked back in the day, but at the end of the day, now that you're a Christian, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, maybe it's time to throw out your Ray Scott album, your Kenny Chesney album, open up the hymns, sing God's songs, the spiritual songs, sing some psalms, sing something that'll actually be profitable for your life and not brainwash you to think that alcohol is cool, because I can guarantee you this, alcohol will ruin your life. It's not something to make fun of. It's not something to sing about. "I'm going to go drink a beer. Rob a banjo. Drink a beer. Rob a banjo." Stupid. You know, here's my song, okay? I'm going to be a country artist. I've decided. All right. I've decided. I want to go be a country artist. The first Arab country star. Okay? Here's my song. Beer looks and tastes like piss. That's my song. Okay? Here's the intro. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. That's what I'm going to put out there. I'll put that to a banjo and trigger the country folks out there. Maybe I'll win a CMA award. I don't know. But the Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you sing about the things of God, guess what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to do the work of the Lord. It's going to motivate you to do the work of the Lord. But if you're singing about alcohol and beer and wine and drinking and whiskey and all the rest of this stupid garbage, guess what you're going to want to do? You're going to feel tempted then to go out and drink. You're going to feel tempted to go to the bar. You're going to feel tempted to fall into that sin. And then next thing you know, you're lying in a gutter somewhere, vomit all over yourself, ruined, your life ruined. Your life completely ruined. You know what I like better than songs about beer? How about this one? He Lives. I like that song. How about this one? At Calvary. I like that one too. How about this? Saved by the Blood. Those are songs that are gonna get you filled with the Spirit. And again, they're gonna motivate you to wanna serve Jesus Christ. Not drink, not commit fornication. That's what the world will try and indoctrinate you into doing, making it seem like sin is cool. No, it's not. If sin were cool, guess what? The multinational corporations that produced this music, they wouldn't be provoking you to go commit sin if it were cool. You know what truly is anti-establishment? Serving Jesus Christ, amen. Living a straight-laced life as this culture around us degrades further and further every single day. You want to be a rebel? You want to be cool? Hey, be a Christian who actually loves the Lord. That's how you can be cool. And again, why even bother listening to these? You know what? It'll get you in the right mood for church. That's what I've noticed. If I had a particularly carnal week, okay, what I'll notice is this. If I listen to a good hymn or a psalm on my way to church, it gets me in the right mood for church. It gets me in the mood to want to hear some fire and brimstone preaching. It gets me in the mood to want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. 2 Chronicles 5, notice verse 11. So the ark is brought into the temple of God. It's placed in the holiest of all. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, notice, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now pay attention to this, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Now I want to explain what this picture is in my opinion. We see that the ark was placed in the holy place, and so consequently the trumpeters and the singers, they sing as one. Remember what I said earlier? You might not sound too good individually, but when you're part of a congregation singing unto the Lord, we're all making one voice, and that one voice sounds great. That one voice sounds beautiful. Notice, following the singing, following the trumpets, following the music, what happens? The glory of the Lord fills the temple. But we are the temple of God in the New Testament, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In the New Testament, we are the temple, whereas in the Old Testament, the temple was a physical building. Prior to that, it was a tabernacle that was mobile. The presence of God, it dwelt inside of a physical temple in the Old Testament, whereas the presence of God dwells inside of your body in the New Testament. What am I talking about? Of course, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside you. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And just as sure as the temple was filled with a cloud after the music was played to the Lord, we see that also you, as God's temple, in my estimation, if you decide to sing some hymns on your way to church, if you decide to sing some psalms on your way to church, you know what's going to happen? You also will be filled with the Spirit of God, which I believe is what's being pictured in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, in the sense that the smoke filled that temple. Well, if you sing unto God, if you sing unto the Lord, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be ready. You'll be equipped to come to church and to do it with all your might. You'll be equipped to come to church, serve God, listen to the preaching, absorb and extract as much from the preaching as you possibly can. We need to get in the right mindset before arriving here, and I think one of the best ways to do that, after you've prayed in the morning, maybe you've read some Bible with a cup of coffee and your breakfast, well, how about singing a hymn on your way to church? Especially if you have lots of kids. If you're like a mini church, some of you drive big minivans, I'm sure. I'm not sure, but I think you do. Okay? I know at Steadfast, we have a couple of families that they have practically buses for their families. They're so big. Okay? Imagine that. You and your entire family of 25 kids, or however many kids people have these days. Folks, in our movement, of course. Folks, it's like a mini church. You could be singing unto the Lord on your way to church. And then what's going to happen? You'll be motivated. You'll be motivated to come here for the morning, for the afternoon, to go soul winning in between, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That takes a lot of work. So why not get filled with the Spirit prior to that? Let's look at 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. My next point is that singing unto the Lord is associated with joy. Singing unto the Lord is associated with joy. Now, there's two components that I wanted to talk about with respect to this particular point. The first is that singing is often a product of joy. It's a product of joy. Psalm 67 talks about this. It says, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." One day, Jesus Christ will rule and reign on this earth. He will judge the nations on this earth. We won't have to worry about clown show elections anymore. There's going to be no elections. Jesus, you know, he's just going to rule. That's it. No debates. Jesus ain't going to be debating anybody. No election 2020 anymore. It's over. Jesus rules and reigns, and if you don't like it, well, he said, "Those are mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Case closed. All right? It's going to be a theocracy. I can't wait for it. And so, what are we going to be doing? We'll be singing for joy. We'll be singing for joy. If any leftists make it into the millennium somehow, they make it through the wrath of God, they won't be singing for joy. They're going to be really upset. They're going to hate Jesus. Because the Jesus that they thought of in this life right here is not going to be the Jesus that they end up seeing during the millennium. We as God's people, though, will be singing for joy, the Bible says in Psalm 67. And in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we see David's song of deliverance. What was he doing here? Same thing. He was singing for joy. It says in verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." I don't want to read the whole thing here for sake of time. But basically, this song, it focuses on David being delivered from his enemies. And so he starts singing. Why? Because singing is associated with joy. People do it as a product or a result or a consequence of something good that happened in their life. You see this constantly throughout Scripture. Last time I was here, I preached about Hannah. And if you look at the chapter right after the one that I covered, what does it talk about? It's Hannah's song. And why is she singing? Because God had given her a son. And so you see, with respect to God's people, when something good happens unto them, they express their joy through singing. And I don't care what situation you're going through right now. Just as sure as David was delivered from his enemies, you've been delivered spiritually. Even if your life, hypothetically, is a wreck right now. Well, there's still one thing you could always fall back on as a positive that's never going away. And it's this. You've been delivered spiritually. When you got saved, you were delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. So why not sing for joy? Why have an angry or sad countenance like the rest of the world does constantly? worried about the election, worried about who the next president's going to be, and all that other garbage. How about instead of behaving like them, why don't we behave like we have the hope that we do have, which is that when we die in this flesh, guess what? It doesn't end there. We end up going to heaven. So why not sing Blessed Redeemer? Great song. How about this one? When I See the Blood. How about this one? Kneel at the Cross. These are some great hymns that you can sing for joy. Go to Psalm 71. Psalms chapter 71. Now remember what I said. I said if you sing, you'll be filled with the Spirit. Well, what is a component of the fruit of the... What is a component of being filled with the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit? That would be joy. That would be joy. When you're filled with the Spirit, you exhibit joy. Psalm 71, look at verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice. Psalm 71, verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. So what can we learn from this verse? When you sing unto the Lord, what's the product of that? Joy. When you sing to God, what's going to happen to you? You're going to exhibit joy. That's what the Bible says. You say, I'm constantly stressed. At times, I'm depressed. You say, maybe you just lost your job. I don't know what you're going through. We all have problems. But you know what? If you're going through something particularly heavy or difficult, you know what it sounds to me? Sounds like to me that you need some more church. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like you need less church, which is what some people will turn to when going through affliction or difficulty. It sounds like you need more church. Why? Because this is a place not only where you can hear the preaching, not only where you can fellowship with God's people, but this is also a place where you can sing unto the Lord during the song service. And according to Psalm 71, the Bible says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. If you've had a stressful week, if you're going through some problems, you need more church where you can sing to God, and the Bible says you will rejoice. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. What's another benefit? You'll rejoice. It'll bring you happiness. We just talked about that, but how about this one? It reinforces doctrine. Singing unto the Lord, the hymns and the spiritual songs and the psalms, reinforces doctrine. Now, why is that important? Because doctrine is important. Oftentimes, as fundamental Baptists, we get accused of splitting hairs on doctrine that people would look at and say, oh, that's not too important. You know, they would look at what happened, for example, with the Trinity and Tyler Baker getting fired as the deacon of Faithful Word Baptist Church. And some people who are not fundamentalists would look at that and say, well, that seemed a little bit harsh. So what if he views the Trinity a little bit differently? But that's not our attitude, is it? No. Because at the end of the day, doctrine's important, especially doctrine related to the nature of Jesus Christ, the nature of God himself. And so we take doctrine seriously as a church. So it would make sense that we pick hymns to sing that actually reinforce the doctrines that we believe. It's good for your children as well. Children might learn differently than adults. They might, you know, there are some kids out there who perhaps they learn more from singing. So if you bring your children to the church service, they might actually get more out of the song portion of the service, the singing portion of the service, than you give them credit for. Because as they're singing these lyrics, the doctrine reinforced in the hymn or in the psalm is being absorbed by them. And children absorb everything. It's what I've heard, at least. Titus 2, notice what it says in verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That means, you know, don't be a jokester all the time. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now pay attention to this part. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he does of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Doctrine is supremely important. Doctrine should be, number one, we ought to show uncorruptness in this area. And so whenever we have an opportunity to reinforce salvation by faith alone, to reinforce the Trinity, to reinforce once saved, always saved, to reinforce even the post-trib pre-wrath rapture, to reinforce replacement theology through song, I say we take it. Here's an example. Holy, holy, holy. This Tyler Baker will not like this hymn. I'm not sure if they sing this at Valiant Trash Can, but if they do, what a bunch of hypocrites. Look at the lyrics. I'll recant the lyrics to you. It says, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Tyler Baker. It says, God in three persons. We believe the Trinity. We love the Trinity. We love the doctrine of the Trinity. Three distinct persons, one essence, three distinct persons, one God. So let's sing about it because we believe it. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I won't go too deep into the lyrics on this one, but all I know is that it does mention a terrestrial ball, doesn't it? Mentions a terrestrial ball. I think that debunks the flat earth morons out there, doesn't it? Right? Now, at this church, if it hasn't been already made abundantly clear through the preaching that you've heard so far, since you've come here, we don't believe the flat earth, because the flat earth is retarded. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's moronic. The only people who believe that have the IQ of a squirrel, okay? So I like that part of all hail the power of Jesus' name. That's great. Yeah. Terrestrial ball, that's right. We live on a sphere, folks. Yeah. Not that hard to realize. How about this one? Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Folks, you want a powerful song right there. I mean, this thing, you know, I sung that CCM earlier, which had no power, it was effeminate. You know the difference between that and the hymns? The hymns actually have power. They get you going. They want, you know, they get you motivated to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One is one of those hymns that does that for me. You might have a different favorite song, but I'll read a few of the lyrics here. It says, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun, sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son, saved by the blood of the Crucified One. It talks about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's important. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. John MacArthur doesn't seem to believe that. He doesn't believe that. He doesn't seemingly not believe it. He comes out and says the opposite. John MacArthur, the false prophet heretic, hopefully his church burns down to a crisp. If he sings this song, just like Tyler Baker, hypocrite. Hypocrite. It says, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Essential doctrine. And notice, I read you some of these lyrics here. What do you get when you hear these songs, when you sing these songs? Actual doctrine. Reinforcing doctrine. Reinforcing doctrine that exalts Jesus Christ, that exalts the truth. Not vain emotionalism, but the truth. And that's important. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is my final point, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. My final point is, another benefit of singing unto the Lord is that it's a mechanism by which you can praise God and thank God. We see gratitude expressed in Psalm 69, which says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And David does just that. In 1 Chronicles 16, this is a song of thanks after the ark is delivered back into Jerusalem. It says in verse number 7, then 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm, notice, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. So how does David express his gratitude? This is also the same way in which you can express your gratitude to the Lord for all the things He's done for you, by singing hymns. What better way to express your thanksgiving to God than by singing unto Him? Pay attention to the lyrics that you're singing. Pay attention to the message of the Psalms and the hymns, and use that as an opportunity to thank God for everything that you have, for everything that you have. Psalm 116, it says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Here's a bonus point for you. Expressing your thanksgiving to God, guess what that is? It's a spiritual sacrifice. Remember, we are all members of a spiritual priesthood. In the Old Testament, they offered up carnal sacrifices, physical sacrifices. Well, as members of a spiritual priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God that are a sweet-smelling savor unto Him. And we can do that by thanking Him, by offering thanksgiving unto Him. And we do that by singing, expressing our gratitude. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Singing to the Lord is another way we can praise God. And here's a hymn that does just that. It's called "To God Be the Glory." Amen. Some of the lyrics for this, as you're going to Acts 16, it says, "To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, who opened the life gate that all may go in." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then it says, "Let the people rejoice." This is a song we can use to praise the Lord, to praise God, to worship God. What wonderful lyrics that is right there. I love it. Actual substance. Actual substance. Psalm 150, it says, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs." Folks, when you're playing an instrument, if you, whoever's playing the piano or whatever other instrument you end up adding, that is a way in which you can praise God through the instruments. Verse 5 of this chapter, it says, "Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." What is Psalm 150 emphasizing? Praising the Lord. Praising God. And here's the thing about instruments. Just as sure as we are individual subsets of this church, okay, and we all have different roles. Some of you just come here and go soul winning. Other people lead the songs. There's a preaching rotation. But you all come together, why? To serve Jesus. Well, it's the same thing with instruments. Each instrument is emitting it's playing a specific sound, but it all comes together to make music combined with the singing. So that's what I want you to focus on, that you all have an individual role here at this church, just as sure as an orchestra, for example, features different instruments, and they all come together to accomplish one goal, just as sure as we, as a local church, come together to accomplish a unified goal. Acts 16, it says in verse 16, Acts 16, 16, this will be the last place I have you turn, Acts 16, 16, it says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." So this lady here, this is a demonic freak lady, and she's possessed, and she's basically trolling here. And she sarcastically proclaims, "These are the servants of the Most High God." Look at verse 18. "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." So Paul rebukes the Spirit. Verse 18. The demon comes out of her. And consequently, the men who had been gaining from this woman, this soothsayer, they're upset about it. And so they respond to what Paul does. Look at verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, being received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So Paul and Silas, they're brought to the magistrates, and what happens to them? They're smeared. So they're attacked verbally, but then they're also attacked physically. They're assaulted. They're beaten. The multitude, they rise up against them. Their anger waxes hot here against them. Their clothes are rent. You know, tempers flare. Paul and Silas beaten for the cause of Christ, essentially, in Acts chapter number 16. And the Bible says, when many stripes were laid upon them, they're thrust into the inner prison. Now, I want you to picture this for a moment. Black Lives Matter is out there right now. picture this for a second. And they're teamed up with Antifa. And there's hundreds of them. And they're throwing rocks at the glass and they're trying to break into the church. And they're actually successful in doing so. And they flood the church and they grab some of us. We're able to knock out a few of them because they're a bunch of flimsy effeminates anyway. But because there's so many, they actually end up overpowering the church. They grab us. We're taken to the authorities and we're sent to prison because under the Joe Biden administration, hate speech is a federal crime. So we've broken the law and we're sent to prison and we're thrown in a prison cell, each of us individually. And it's a nasty prison cell. There's cockroaches everywhere. It smells like a rotting corpse. We're in the inner prison. Here's my question for you. How do you react? How do you react to that? Well, let's see how Paul and Silas reacted. Look at verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now imagine that. After going through that, you know, we think getting banned from Facebook or Twitter is affliction. That's nothing. This is affliction right here. Physically being beaten and thrown into the inner prison for the cause of Christ. There are a lot of people who talk tough right now when we don't have to face that threat. Oh, I'm going to go during the tribulation. I'm going to win so many souls to Christ. And you know, these blowhards, right? You know what they're going to do when the affliction actually comes? They'll be running and hiding because they're talking about, they're bragging about it. But Paul and Silas face actual persecution here for the cause of Christ, thrown into the inner prison. Now, of course, we know God miraculously frees them, and then the jailer, he gets saved and his house in a famous scripture. But here's my point. Even at their lowest point in life, Paul and Silas, thrown into the inner prison, beaten, battered, you know what they still had? They still had the wherewithal to praise God, and they did it how? They did it through singing. So here's my admonition for you. If Paul and Silas can accomplish that in a prison cell, we can do it in our car on the way to church. Yeah. We can do it at church. Certainly at church, we can sing unto the Lord and praise God. If they're willing to do it in a prison cell, no matter how difficult life may be, no matter what you're going through, the affliction and the pain, or even if you're going through some persecution courtesy of close friends or family, it doesn't matter because guess what? You can still praise God just like they did. They were thrown in prison and they still found a way to praise the Lord. They still found a way to sing unto the Lord. And imagine what the fellow prisoners were thinking as they're hearing that. Like, man, what's up with these? What are they? They're singing in prison? What's up with that? But you know what? We're sanctified. We're different. Right? We're supposed to be different from the world. We're supposed to be sanctified from the world. And so if you draw a reaction like that from people out there, a reaction that says, what's up with this person? There's something different about them. You know what? You're doing a good job. And that's the type of reaction I bet you. It doesn't say, but I guarantee you that's what they elicited here. Folks, we can sing praises during the ups and the downs, okay? We can sing praises whether you're in prison or out of prison, during war, during peace, all the days of our life. Don't be ashamed of it. No, the world should be ashamed for the music they listen to. That beer crap, the drinking songs I was listing earlier, they ought to be ashamed of the music that they're listening to in the world on their radio, not us. Okay, don't be ashamed of the hymns. Don't be ashamed of the psalms. We have nothing to be ashamed of with respect to our music. Every hymn, every psalm, they're wonderful. They're powerful. And according to the Word of God, it's a way in which we can praise and worship Him. So why wouldn't you sing? So I challenge all of you, sing unto the Lord like you mean it. Don't be ashamed. You say, I'm not a great singer. Sing out loud anyway. I don't know the lyrics. Well, just try your best. You know, listen, I flubbed the lyrics before when I didn't know it in my hymn book. I'm sitting there looking at it, and I say the wrong word. Nobody's ever made fun of me for it. So don't worry about that. You'll be fine. Sing out loud. Sing loudly. Sing like you mean it. Do it with all thy might. And here are some of the benefits that you'll incur. You'll be filled with the Spirit, like I talked about. You'll be filled with joy, because it's a product of joy, and it also leads to joy. And also, we know that as you sing, you'll be praising God and lifting Him up and exalting Him, and there's a blessing associated with that. You'll be offering a spiritual sacrifice as you sing the lyrics of the hymns and the psalms. So this is a good segue right here, okay? I just spent an hour yelling at you about singing. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing unto the Lord. Let's do it right now. Let's sing out loud. Let's sing like we mean it. And folks, this is all I have left to say. Thanks for listening. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this church, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to recognize the importance of music and listening to the right music and absorbing the right music and singing unto you and glorifying you through music. And obviously, it's not everything, Lord, but we just pray that you would help us to do that now. And Father, I just pray also that even outside of church, that we wouldn't be tempted to turn on the radio and listen to trash, but rather that we would put on a hymn or a song and sing unto you on our way to work or wherever we might be going, Lord. And help us to do this at home. Help us to do this at church. And Lord, I just pray that we never depart from this foundational truth that we ought to sing unto you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, our last hymn this morning is going to be number 404. Hymn number 404, When the Battle's Over. And there's not really a lot more that I can say to encourage you at this point, but just sing it out. Sing it like you actually mean it.
Yeah.
When the Battle's Over, hymn number 404, 404. Hymn number 404, When the Battle's Over. Let's sing. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And could I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shiny crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sure I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes,
we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shiny crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen. And with that, you are dismissed.